AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on the eve of a Europa League quarter-final for Rangers. Barry Ferguson's side are in Bilbao, ready to try and pull off another special European night. Elsewhere, Alistair Johnson says the recent defeat to St Johnstone shows a treble isn't guaranteed ahead of the Scottish Cup semi this weekend. And James Wilson signs a new deal at Hearts. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Cammy Bell and Roger Hanna.
No. I'm the older gentleman of the three of us in here.
By a mile.
I remember the days, lads, when it was a huge thing for Rangers to be in a European quarter-final. It was a huge thing for Celtic to be in the brink of a treble. And now Rangers fans seem to have been spoiled in Europe. Celtic fans seem to have been spoiled domestically. They're almost taking it for granted. But let me tell you, these are two huge games for Rangers in Bilbao tomorrow night. And then for Celtic at Hampden on Sunday, the Olsen Johnson won. And they could get close again to a domestic clean sweep.
Yeah, massive game starting tomorrow night. Rangers, all the fans will be very excited about it. It's been such a up and down season for the fans, a roller coaster, whatever you want to call it. But listen, a lot of wrongs can be put right tomorrow night if they manage to get a huge result. And I mean, I'd put this up there as one of the results, certainly in recent history, of how good it can be if they can manage to navigate their way through this one.
Come on then, you know the drill by now. 0141-951-1025. What is on your mind tonight? Share it with Roger Hanna and Cammy Bell, and we'll work our way through it all between now and 8 o'clock. Of course, it is the day before a Scottish team plays in a Europa League quarter final, so lots to get through there. We will go live to Bilbao. We will hear everything you need to know from Barry Ferguson's press conference, injury updates, thoughts on the game plan, how he feels the game is going to go, questions following on from the weekend where he made a number of changes, and the lay of the land from our reporter Andrew McLean. So we'll go live there. Until such times, why not you give us your thoughts? 0141-951-1025. You know how it works the night before these games. Just the general feeling on how you think the team will shape up. Pick your team, pick your personnel, your tactics, your formation. Are there any big decisions left for Barry Ferguson, or did he make them all last week? What does this week look like? Because this time last week we were up to our eyes in goalkeeping debate, but I suppose that one's probably gone away and Liam Kelly stays in. What else is there? Not too many options in defence. Do you stick with that back three? Do you have to reshuffle because of the absence of Robin Proper, the absence of Dujon Sterling? Does James Tavernier go into the back three? Does that mean Yilmaz plays on the right hand side? Does Nsiala suddenly come back in and start a game? And maybe the big one, for those of you who want to just mix things up, is there a case that Hamza Egeman starts the game, or will it be Cyril Dessers once again? Do let us know on 0141-951-1025. If you're not interested in all that stuff and you just want to talk bigger picture, quite simply, how confident are you can Rangers do this again? It has been a miserable domestic season, and every single time people keep waiting for this to be the one that the domestic form catches up with them in Europe. Will it happen, or will they yet again have a Thursday night to remember and progress to the semi-finals? How confident are you? 0141-951-1025. It is the main story, clearly, of this midweek, but not the only show in town. So Celtic fans, how are you feeling about everything? We're going to hear from Alistair Johnson reminiscing about that recent defeat in Perth, showing that nothing is guaranteed because the sides obviously meet in the Scottish Cup semi this weekend. We can't shake off the Greg Taylor debate on this show. That was lively and lengthy last night about whether he should or shouldn't extend his stay at the club. Any Hearts fans out there, you have had a miserable weekend. Are you cheered up any by the news that James Wilson has signed a new contract? Or is that not enough to move the dial? Anything else? You're the creative ones out there. Give us a call on 0141-951-1025. It is nice, Roger, to have such a busy end to the season.
Very much so. And then, listen, these are big games. And then once we get through tomorrow night in Spain, and then the Cup semi-finals at the weekend, we're into that post-split fixture list. Five games, very rapid, over about 3.5 weeks. Gordon, before we get to the Scottish Cup final, it will be a thrilling finale. Everything is still up for grabs. The Scottish Cup, third place in the league, the avoidance of the relegation playoff place. I can see that little wobble when I mention that, when you look at Motherwell's positioning, Gordon. But there's so much, to play for after the split. It's going to be really good. It's going to be a good run into the season.
Yeah, yeah, loads, as Roger said, loads to look forward to. But again, it starts tomorrow night. It's a massive match. And again, we can't underestimate how big this is for Rangers. As I mentioned before, such a up and down season for them. So many disappointments, a few things to cheer about recently, but a few disappointments as well domestically. So, but they've been so good in European football. So you've got to look forward to it as a Rangers fan, and it's a huge opportunity for the players.
I even had a wee look at the Championship. Livingston against my United team on Friday night. If Livy win, amazingly, they go within 3 points of Falkirk. Then it's Falkirk, Wraith, and then the one that's under the radar. How about Neil Lennon versus Mark Wilson on Saturday afternoon? How good's that going to be at Dunfermline?
I think Mark will take down his Neil Lennon posters from his bedroom.
Only for the day.
Before it. So like the night before, but put them back up once he's
Maybe even the morning of the game, we'll take them down and put them back up.
Big decisions though. I mean, just how to navigate that this weekend, when he does and when he puts them back up.
Yeah, but listen, he'll be buoyed by the ceaseless backing, the support he's had on this show from Gordon DL.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
Awe-inspiring.
It really is. Yeah, look, it's all shaping up. Actually looking forward to that at the weekend, because we go Europa League straight into the Scottish Cup semi-final weekend. Cammy, we're seasons can be made or broken here, because people are, understandably, I don't think apologies really need to be made. Celtic are massive favourites, so that comes with a tone of like, as if a treble's in the bag, but it obviously might not be, and St Johnstone will want to stop that. And that's before we get to the final. People are talking about Hearts. Does Neil Critchley's job, does his survival hinge on one semi-final? So massive few days coming up.
Massive few days. I'll start off on Saturday, the Hearts-Aberdeen game. I think Neil Critchley is under huge pressure. After the disappointment, you can see the frustration of the Hearts fans. I think it was an uninspiring managerial appointment at the time. A lot of people were question marks when he first came in, so I felt as if he had to hit the ground running. He's not really done that. Yes, they've slightly improved since Stephen Naismith's sacking, but not hugely. And that disappointment on Saturday when they drew 0-0 at Motherwell is still lingering about. So he needs to get a result on Saturday.
Come on down, 01419511025. We will go live to Bilbao when we can. Andrew McLean will bring us everything you need to know from Barry Ferguson's press conference. So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, let's kick off with some calls. Gary is going to lead us out tonight. How's it going, Gary?
Not bad, gents. How are you?
All good here. Can't complain. What are you thinking?
I just wanted to get your opinion, because I've got like kind of 50-50. I don't think Rangers will have many chances away to Atletico Bilbao, as many as what they did against Fenerbahce. I think that with the chances that Dessers actually misses, Hegeman might be a better option, because I think he's, you know, you give him one or two chances, he is a great goal scorer. Although, in saying that, Dessers is a better link-up with Tierney than what Tierney is with Hegeman. What do you think?
That's a big decision, Roger.
Yeah, I tend to think Barry Ferguson will go with Dessers. When you saw the team he picked for Pittodrie, you looked, there was sort of 10 outfield players left out, and you immediately thought, well, the other 10 that are going to play in Bilbao on Thursday night. Of the ones who played at Pittodrie, Hegeman probably did more than any other to try and change the manager's mind and try and get the nod ahead of Dessers. But I think Barry Ferguson already had a team in his head. I don't think he'll deviate for that team. I think Dessers will start.
No, I agree with Rodgers. I think Dessers will start. I think Hegeman will definitely play a part in the game. But I just think for his physical presence, and again, Rangers are probably expecting to have to sit quite deep, and he's got to be an out ball. He's got to be good tomorrow night at holding the ball up, linking play up. He's got to retain possession when he gets it, because there's going to be long spells tomorrow night. Rangers are going to be sort of backed against the wall, and they'll be looking to have that spring of a counter attack as a threat against Bilbao. So I expect Dessers to start, but I'm pretty sure Hegeman will have a part to play.
What did you make of Dessers last week then, Gary? Because I think, you know, we were on during the game, we were getting bits of criticism in about him not holding the ball up, but at the same time Rangers just didn't really attack because, you know, because they were down to 10 men. So do you think it's fair to use that as a comparison?
If he, when he holds it up, if he manages just to, you know, release it quicker, give it to Tierney and just, you know, just drill straight into the box rather than, he just seems to take a wee bit of, I don't know, he's not got, sometimes he's as if he's running in cement, do you know what I mean? He's not got that actual, that pace, but I'm not too sure.
Because that's the thing, Roger, usually in a two-legged European tie, you look to learn lessons from the first game and things you can take in, and I'm not saying there are none, obviously, but when a team gets a sending off so early, it does alter everything.
Yeah,
so we didn't
does.
See Rangers in an attacking sense, so we don't really know what worked and what didn't. And what we do know is that they put in a good defensive performance, but again, it was more of a, you know, you can sit back and defend crosses into the box. So I wonder what impact last week has, if you like, on the game plan this week.
I don't think it really altered the game plan. I think Rangers would be delighted to have got out Ibrox with a 0-0 after that early red card for Robin Proper. What you could see in Dessers' defence is he has scored goals in Europe. You know, he scored that great goal at Old Trafford. He scored against Fenerbahce, against Olympiacos. I think he got one early in the season against Dinamo Kiev. So he can score at that level. I think he gives you probably a little bit more physicality if he's going to be the focal point of the attack, you know, to play off. He does play well with Tierney. He's played well with Diomande when Diomande's been one up as well. I'm not sure Diomande will be this time. I wonder if Hadji might start. I just think Dessers will get the nod, and I think we're agreed we can probably say it won't be Danilo.
Yeah. Yeah, even I'll do anything to stir debate in this show, but I cannot put the case forward with no disrespect to him. Again, I wonder if the circumstances are sort of going in Iggeman's favour in many fans' eyes, because he came on later on in the game last week, and then he was able to, he did well to hold up for the 10-15 minutes, so then that sticks in the mind. And then at the weekend, Ranger went great, but obviously there's a big contribution from him personally in that second, or towards the end of the first half and into the second half.
No, listen, I think he'll definitely be in Barry Ferguson's thoughts, but I firmly believe that he will go with Dessers because, again, Rangers mentioned his physicality up front. As I said before, I think Rangers will be under the cosh for long periods in the game. They're going to have to defend really well, but have that spring when they're going forward. And I think that's when they're at their best as well. Don't get me wrong. I think they've got the players that can do that, defend for long periods, as long as they don't concede early on, get comfortable in your defending, and then have that spring as attack. But it's going to be so important if it's Dessers that's up top and the focal point, that he holds the ball up, he links up really well tomorrow night, because that's key. That's key to get Tierney, your other players up the pitch and get them involved. So he needs a big performance tomorrow night.
Gary, if you stick with that back three, what does that look like? James Tavernier going to have to go in there? Yilmaz play on the right or something? Is that okay with you?
I think so. Suter coming back is massive for us, because I think Proper, it's just, you know, I know he's it showed you against Fenerbahce when he was taken out by Butland and stuff. We actually do play better, and I know he's meant to be a good European centre-half, but, you know, our away performance in Europe's been really, really good, and I think we've got a massive chance. The game on Thursday was massive, so we can actually take something over to Spain. And I think it'll be a really, really tough night defending wise, but hopefully we get through it. And I would just like to say, I would rather play Man United than Leon home and away, because Leon battered us at Ibrox, and I think Man United, I know we played them at Old Trafford, but I think Ibrox, Man United would be an easier option.
Yeah, some interesting ties in the balance elsewhere. Can Ange Postecoglou salvage something out of his season? He's level going away to Frankfurt as well. Bodo Glimt are in a good position though, aren't they?
They're leading Lazio. Yeah, a couple of goals up in Lazio.
Look forward to also finding out who else makes it through. Thank you to Gary. What about Ian on the other line? Are you confident, Ian? How are you feeling? One day to go.
All right, panel, I hope you are well. I'm very confident. I actually phoned last week at half time and I was panicking. I felt we could have got beat 3 or 4, but I think we'll go there tomorrow and I think we'll dominate the game. You might think I'm stupid, but that's just my opinion.
I don't think you're stupid, Ian. It would be quite an insult if we were just, you know, I mean, maybe a Hugh Keevansism, but no, we wouldn't call you stupid. Don't worry about that.
We never say that about any of the calls.
Just the pundits.
Is Mikel Arteta at Ibrox yet? No.
Let's not. Okay. I mean, listen, why would you grudge Rangers fans confidence? I've got no idea what happens tomorrow because they're very unpredictable, but they've got enough of a European enough European goodwill in the tank that you wouldn't write them off completely, is that
100%? No, I think they've got a big chance tomorrow night. I think I don't see them dominating the game, but I definitely see them within the game because I feel as if what you say there, Gordon, that the recent history in European football tells us that they can compete at this level. They can handle games, big games, games that they're going to have to defend for long periods and have that threat as well going forward. So I think they've got a chance tomorrow night. I really do. I think yes, they need to have that, probably that little bit of luck, rub of the green again, but they've got the players that can hurt Bilbao as well. They're going to have to defend for long periods. They're going to have to have Liam Kelly having a great game and goals as well. But I think they've got the players out there to definitely hurt them.
I think the Rangers will possibly go out in the competition, Gordon. But I said that before they went to Fenerbahce in the last round, and I'm pretty sure if you dig through the archives, I said that before they played RB Leipzig in the semi-final 3 years ago and before they went and scored 4 goals in Dortmund. So this Rangers team, these Rangers players have confounded the so-called experts time and time again in Europe. They are the only team that can lose at home at Queen's Park and win away to Jose Mourinho's Fenerbahce, you know, in the same time period. They seem inspired, they seem uplifted, they seem a completely different outfit when they go into this Europa League. Do not ask me to explain it. I've said I think this is going to be a step too far for them, but listen, even I won't be surprised if they get through.
They almost look more comfortable in Europe, yeah, when they're playing. Again, I watch them in domestic football, and everyone will be saying the same, but you watch them in domestic, it's a real struggle at times. It's, again, obviously the weekend things went against them with Ross McCausland getting sent off, but it seems a real struggle, and then they go into European games and they feel as if they're actually, yeah, fairly comfortable.
Ian, there's one thing saying Rangers could go through because they've done it before, but just to revisit your specific prediction, you think they'll go there and dominate the game?
I don't know. I just felt we dominated the game at Fenerbahce away. I think they can do the same, but I'm a wee bit more confident Roger Hanna thinks we won't do it. I think I give the boys a boot.
Quite right.
Thanks, Ian.
Listen, I suppose there are different ways to dominate to the game. We think of possession, and yeah, the reason I say it is because Rangers tend to look at their best when they don't do that. You know, take the, yeah, Celtic games, take some of the European games.
I'll be interested to hear from Andrew McLean, because the one thing we don't know at the minute is the fitness of likes of Red Van Yilmaz and guys like that who weren't involved at all in the squad at Pittodrie. Rangers are so light in defenders, you know, proper suspended. Sterling's out with that nasty Achilles injury for the long term. Casemiro, remember him? You know, he's out long term injured as well. So if Yilmaz wasn't to be fit either, you wonder exactly what the makeup of that Rangers team would be. So it'll be fascinating to hear from Andrew.
Yeah, and they all trained today, is, yeah, all I can tell you. I was up there doing some work, but other than that, you're right, we will hear from Andrew McLean. We will go live to Bilbao, so keep the calls coming. How are you feeling about tomorrow? But if there's something else away from that fixture on your mind, share it with the guys right now, and we will speak to you next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Cammy Bell in the building, both waiting for you to get in touch. So let's do it on the phones, 0141 951 1025. No surprise, we're building up to the game in Bilbao tomorrow, but you are more than welcome to change that topic. Give us something else that's up your sleeve. An early look ahead to the weekend Scottish Cup semi-finals, a late look back maybe on some of the weekend's talking points. Let's do it all on the phones or on Twitter if you'd prefer, at Clyde SSB. William is next up. How are you, William?
Yeah, hello Gordon, Cammy and Roger.
What are you thinking tomorrow then?
Yeah, I've got a team, and I've got what I think was going to happen here. We went to Fenerbahce. In my opinion, this is just my opinion, I think Fenerbahce were a better team so far in the sample sizes. We played Malbea one game, we played them two. I think Fenerbahce were a better side. That's my opinion. I think we can go over there and create chances. We did in Fenerbahce. We created a lot of chances. I think we'll definitely get chances. And go to my team selection, this is where I think the chances must be taken. And he's been very good away from home in Europe. And my striker would definitely be Dessers, because he seems to be on fire away from home. So the team would be Kelly. I would go with Yilmaz as a fit, Yefte. The back three would be Tavernier, Balogun, Suter. My middle three would be obviously Raskin, Diamandé and Hadji, because of that superb goal he scored. And you've got Czerny and Dessers up front. What do you think, guys?
Firstly, are they not as good as Fenerbahce, in William's opinion?
I have to disagree with that. I think they're a better team than Fenerbahce. You look at where they are in the Spanish league. Spanish league's a level above the Turkish league. They're fourth there. The three teams above them are Barcelona, Real Madrid and Atletico Madrid. You can't really say fairer than that. They've got three players on the Scots side, Simon, Vivian and Nico Williams, who started for Spain in the Euros final when they beat England. This is an elite football team. They're holders of the Copa del Rey. They put Roma out of competition emphatically in the last round. They didn't play well at Ibrox. I don't know whether the red card early on spooked them as much as it spooked Rangers. But I think they're a good side. I think you'll see tomorrow night how good they are. That doesn't necessarily mean they'll win the game. I think you're probably right with the team though, William.
Maybe they're both right though, because Rodgers, given their credentials, which are factual and you can't argue with Cammy, and they are officially operating as a good team would. But Williams may be talking about the eye test last week, you know, and the eye test of Fenerbahce. And did you see loads to be scared of last week?
Not last week, no. I was actually really disappointed with Bilbao with regards to watching them as an elite team, which I think they are. But I don't think they performed like that last week. And that's down to Rangers as well, the way that they performed and went about their business, especially when they went down to 10 men. They frustrated them. They made it difficult to have clear-cut opportunities. So Rangers have got to take a huge amount of credit for the way that they performed. But I don't... Listen, when you looked at them last week, there's not a lot. I don't think there's a huge amount to fear. But the problem is, I think what Roger just said there, the players that they have at their disposal are top elite players. And I think they'll come looking for Rangers tomorrow night. They'll come out the traps. They'll want to get the job done early. So it's up to Rangers to go out there and perform. It's up to Rangers to start the game well, frustrate them again, make sure they're well within the game. And as I said before, I think Rangers have got the players. If they get right on the night, they get a bit of luck, they can definitely get through this tie. I think the team as well though, I totally agree. I think he's got a team bang on. I wrote the team down there.
I think Barry Ferguson could in theory just take the night off, and William could get flown over.
Absolutely.
William, you've got the backing of the guys. Have you always been a sort of serial Dessers fan, William? You think even the question marks this week about whether Eggman should take his place, you think that's kind of unfair?
No, I think Barry Ferguson keeps saying Dessers is a workhorse and his work rate has never been questioned, do you know what I mean? I will remind Roger that Besiktas beat Atletico Bilbao 4-1 and they're a Turkish side. But it's not just that. I respect Roger, he's a clever man, but I mentioned to the producer hostile environments, you don't get anywhere hostile in Turkey. I'm not under any illusions, this is a good team we're playing, right? But since Gerrard rolled in, he's turned us into a great European side. And anybody who thinks Rangers can win over there, just watch. It could happen.
I wouldn't pretend, because I've not been to both, and I'm sure Istanbul is famously hostile. This looks like a nice football arena as well.
Yeah, it does. And that's why it's hosting the final. If you go back, Williams, right, to Steven Gerrard's time, something changed in European terms with Rangers. I don't know what it was. It's like a flick of a switch, because, you know, no one needs to remind William of Pedro Caixinha and Progress Niederkorn, a European low. And since then, Rangers have really punched above their weight in Europe. For successive managers, Gerrard, you know, Giovanni Van Bronckhorst took Rangers to the final of this competition 3 years ago. Philippe Clement and a couple of decent results in Europe as well. And now, you know, Barry Ferguson's carried it on. The players, as Cammy said earlier, they just seem to have more belief, more confidence in themselves. They feel more at home playing in this environment. It's absolutely astonishing that can be the case. You know, when you look at some of the domestic problems they've had.
What's the deal with that? There can't be a thread that runs through that though, is there? Because there's no players there that James Tavernier is, but yeah, there are no. If you've got like the same group of players in three or four seasons, they're battle hardened in Europe and whatever else. But if it's multiple managers, different players.
So what I've said before is it a mentality thing? When the pressure's off a little bit, there's not as much expectation. Every week you're going to Ibrox, you're playing a Motherwell, no disrespect to Motherwell or St Mirren, you're expected to turn them over. Just again, the fans are looking for 2-3 nils there at Ibrox. The expectation's there, and if it doesn't go well for the first 35-40 minutes, I feel like the players don't react well to that. Whereas in European football, they're big nights. Yes, you're automatically up for the game, but there's not as much pressure because, again, some people are thinking this Rangers team can't get through this tie. Whereas I think there's that inner belief, and when the pressure's slightly off a little bit, they manage to perform that little bit better.
Go on then, William. Give us a scoreline prediction. First of the week, Rangers going to do this?
I think it's going to go extra time, and I think it could possibly be penalties again.
Ooh. I was just trying to think what that means for Gordon Dale's schedule tomorrow. We'll be on till 11 regardless, so it actually won't make too much difference for us. It won't make it a later night for us, just for the players. Could you see that, Roger? If Rangers are going to progress, might it take the hard route?
Listen, it may well do. No good for a newspaper man trying to get a copy of the Scottish Sun out late on a Thursday night, I have to say. Fenerbahce nearly finished me that game, penalty shootout at Ibrox. But listen, Rangers do drama in Europe very well, and who's to say it doesn't go to the penalty shootout? And see if it does. Bet Liam Kelly fancies it after last week.
Oh yes. What sort of time constraints are you on? How close does it get?
Well, I once said here is how close it gets.
What sort of time
11,
are we talking?
11:30.
So you need to have the paper done by 11:30. Yeah. And what time did that last penalty miss?
Far too close to 11:30 for my liking. Oh, I can't quite tight. Remember.
That's, I think, not great.
I was running about shouting at that stage.
Well, for Roger Hanna's sake then, if anyone cares, we'll try and keep the game away from extra time and penalties. Right, 01419511025. Thank you to William and Stevenson for giving us his thoughts. You're more than welcome to do the same on the phones or on Twitter. Just general thoughts on the chances, the confidence levels, the pre-match nerves, if you so wish, or more specifically, who should play and all that sort of stuff we like to get caught up in the day before a game. So keep those calls flowing in between now and 8 o'clock. I'm sure there'll be plenty of Rangers fans over there as well. I think we can perhaps speak to our reporter Andrew McLean if he's ready. Can we cross live to Bilbao just now? Let's do it.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard coverage of the European knockout rounds with the Drake Neighbourhood Gastro Pub. Watch live sports in the West End of Glasgow.
Right, Andrew, bring us up to speed. What's the latest?
Yeah, Barry Ferguson has just finished his pre-match media duties here at Estadio San Mamés, and he's bringing some good news to Rangers supporters ahead of tomorrow night's game here against Athletic Bilbao. He said that a few players have trained because Leon Balogun is back and available and should be able to play. The same for Václav Černý, the same for Ridvan Yilmaz, and the same for Bailey Rice, who took that really tough blow, didn't he, in the game last week. But all four have trained today. He said as long as they come through the night fine, then they'll all be available for selection. So you will have a decent selection of players to choose from. Of course, Robin Proper is suspended for this game, but he won't be able to play. But John Souter and Mohamed Diamandé, they're both back from suspension. So he's talking about his team news. He said he already knows the team that he wants to send out there, and he was talking about the game last week. Of course, they had to defend for their lives after going down to 10 men after just 12 minutes in that game. He said that they need to do the same again tomorrow, but they need to be a lot better with the ball. That's his main aim for tomorrow night. He wants to take the game to Athletic Bilbao when they can, and he wants to make sure that they keep the ball and do something useful with it when they can.
Give any specific hints about what that team might look like or a shape or anything along those lines?
No. He was quite closed, as you imagine, and there will be so many question marks because will it be a back five? Will it be a back four? Robin Proper not being available maybe means that will people look to it being a back four, because, you know, James Tavernier, does he play at right back? Does he play at right back of a right centre back of a three potentially if it's going to be a five? So there are going to be lots of options. He was asked specifically about Hamza Egerman after his performance against Aberdeen at the weekend, whether that had given him some food for thought instead of Cyril Dessers potentially. He said that he was happy with Hamza Egerman's performance, but he's always pushing for more. That was maybe just a hint that it's likely to be Cyril Dessers in that game tomorrow night. James Tavernier, the captain, was up speaking as well. Some interesting stuff from him. He was reflecting back on the Europa League final 3 years ago, talking about the pain, the regret from that night. He said he's never watched it back. He's not watched a single replay or highlight from that game because it still hurts. He says, you know, they're now in an opportunity where, you know, he described that as a once-in-a-lifetime type of thing, and then went back on it and said, well, you know what? Need to make sure it's not a once-in-a-lifetime type of opportunity because they have the chance here to get through to a European semi-final once again. He's got that experience from a few years ago, and he's hoping that this Rangers team can really drive and get to that last four.
What's the kind of local mood like? I'm sure they would have been expecting to go through this tie. They didn't quite step up the way people thought they would last week. Is there a feeling that they can switch it back on and step up a couple of gears tomorrow?
Yeah, I was speaking to Ernesto Valverde earlier on, the Athletic Bilbao manager. He was saying that they weren't anywhere near their best last week. He says that they've got a lot more to offer, especially in the forward areas. He thinks they can be a lot better. But just speaking to local people, local journalists as well, a lot of talk is about the pressure because this stadium behind me is not only hosting the game tomorrow night, it's hosting the final in May as well. And that is big, big pressure for this team and these players because they want to go out, they want to lift this trophy, and they want to do it in their home stadium where all their supporters are going to be. So that is that added bit of pressure on these players and on Ernesto Valverde. And you just wonder whether that's maybe the type of thing that Rangers could play into, because if they are so desperate to get through, make it to the last four and then make it back here in the final, potentially that could be something that does play in the minds of the players tomorrow night.
Yeah, no, look, I think that probably tells its own story because we like to give a bit of insight into what it's like over there. I was going to ask you what awaits the Rangers fans, but if this venue has been chosen for the final, then I'll, you know, go all out on a limb and guess that it's a pretty impressive footballing arena for those who are making the journey.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's not a stadium I'd really heard too much about before. You talk about the big ones in Spain, of course, the new camp and the Bernabeu, but this is a really special stadium. It was built around 2013, 2014. It's a huge stadium. It's really modern, and it's an excellent arena to play football. They're expecting it to be a fantastic atmosphere. You know, the Basque people love their club. They are so passionate about football, so they'll be making as much noise as they possibly can to drive their team on tomorrow. But, you know, as I look out there at the moment, I can see the away section as well, with the netting around it. Around 2,500 Rangers fans will get into the ground. I think around 4,000 have travelled to Bilbao, and will be, you know, many of them will be sitting in pubs watching the game as well. So the Rangers fans will be making themselves heard as well, and they'll be hoping that they can play a bit of a factor in tomorrow night's game too.
Are we better than a weather update, or do we do it anyway, I suppose, quickly?
Let's do it.
It's actually not been that great, to be honest.
Good.
I was hoping
delighted
to come over
to
here.
Sorry
and,
to
yeah,
say that.
I know. I was hoping to come over here and have to get the sun cream out, but no, sadly not. There was a bit of rain today. It actually feels a bit like Scottish weather, so who knows? Maybe that'll help Rangers tomorrow night.
There we go. Andrew McLean, thank you very much, bringing us the latest from Bilbao. What does that do for your mood, Rangers fans? There's Barry Ferguson. We'll play the horse's mouth stuff from him, but Andrew McLean giving you the teaser there that everyone's fit, Roger Hanna, or everyone that had a question mark over them, I should say. Obviously, Dujon Sterling and all the other long term ones, but everybody else,
yeah,
ready to go.
And now it's just down to Barry to decide what he wants to do. Is it the back three with Tavernier at right centre back? That would, you would think, push Ruud van Yilmaz back onto the right hand side with Jeff Day on the left. Bailey Rice performed well last week, having been handed quite a surprise start before he went off injured. Does he come into the reckoning, or is it a night for more experience of Raskan, Diamande and Hadji in there? Be fascinating to see. Great interview from Ernesto Valverde earlier in the day, where he described Vaclav Černý as a bullet.
Ooh.
The pace with which he charges forward. So they clearly respect the threat that Rangers can pose in that San Mames tomorrow night. Listen, it's something to really look forward to.
Come on then, get the calls in right now. It's a perfect time because we're going to take a breather. If you call us now, we'll do our best to get you on next, and I must run this past you.
Easter Cash Countdown.
Tomorrow, £525,000. And it is so easy to play, get in the draw, and you could win that amount, £525,000, by the end of the day. Text YES to 61025. And if you do that, you get 10 entries for the price of one text entry. The texts are £250 plus your standard network rate. So upping your odds. Their entries on the website cost £2.50, or you can call 03-434-269-340, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only, and all the rules for this Rail Network competition are on our website. Don't miss out, because the lines close 5pm tomorrow, so you really are in the home straight of opportunity there. Don't miss out, please. Just answer your phone if the call comes, and the £525,000 would be yours, paid straight into your bank account as well. An incredible day in store for someone. It might as well be you. Text YES to 61025.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hannes here alongside Cammy Bell, joined by you hopefully in the very near future. So pick up the phone, 01419511025. Building up to kick off tomorrow evening in Bilbao for that Europa League quarter final. I keep saying it, I know it can be difficult because it is one story that will always dominate a midweek, but if there's something else out there that you want to discuss, you're a fan of another team and you want your moment tonight, we are more than happy to do that. So do give us a call, please. Mark is on the line. How are you, Mark?
Not too bad.
Confident?
Kind of getting ready for tomorrow. 2-0 Rangers.
Oh, wow, very confident. What makes you say that then?
I think if they play the way they did against the French team in Fenerbahce. I mean, they scored 6-0 in Fenerbahce. In the link-up play with Dio Mandy, Raskin and Czerny was terrific. Very good with Dessers. I mean, Dessers done a lot of running that night as well, and he scored a few goals, and I think we're in a good situation. I think there'll be a lot of pressure on that team to win as well, because obviously the final's at home, to be a home ground, so I think Rangers will be up for it.
Is it always going to be that, Roger? Because the sample's not massive. We know Rangers have had various issues domestically, so the Fenerbahce away still remains the blueprint sort of thing to try and replicate.
Very much so. And they would love to go to Spain tomorrow night and just do exactly as they did in Turkey. I think it'll be difficult, partly because they have done it there, and Athletic Bilbao, I think, will probably show them a bit more respect, a bit more regard than Jose Mourinho and Fenerbahce did. I think they grossly underestimated Rangers in the last round. But listen, it's a big ask tomorrow night. But you listen to Andrew McLean, you talk about the pressure that those Athletic players are under to try and get to a final in their home stadium. They've never won a European competition before. It could be a historic season for them. So they will feel a burden of history in their shoulders. And maybe Rangers can go and just expose that tomorrow.
Yeah, no, listen, Rangers have got to go over there and believe. Absolutely have to. And again, there's no reason why they shouldn't, because recent European history with them, they've been very good in Europe in the last couple of years. So they've got to go over and believe, but again, echo what Roger's saying, that it's going to be a real tough night. It's going to take a monumental effort from the Rangers players, the management staff, everyone involved in that game tomorrow night to get a result. Because, as I said before at the start of the show, I think if they get a result tomorrow night, it's one of the biggest results in recent history for Rangers, I would think, because of where they've been this season, the roller coaster they've been on, the domestic form. If they can go over to Bilbao and get to that semi-finals, that is a massive result.
Mark makes a fair point mentioning Diomande. Could you forget about the forced changes that Rangers will make this weekend? In fact, forced change is probably not the right way of describing it. You would want Diomande back in anyway, and you would want Suter back in. They were missing due to suspension last week. So I know Sterling's a blow, but with all due respect, you'd rather have John Suter than Robin proper.
Oh yeah.
And you'd rather have certainly Diomande probably in the team, but certainly as an option, even if you didn't.
Yeah, well, listen, Diomande will start. It's just a case of, you know, whether he starts in place of Bailey Rice or whether he starts in that advanced role, you know, along with Czerny in behind Cyril Dessers, he'll definitely start.
I think Bailey Rice will drop out from last week.
Yeah, I do, actually. Yeah, I think it'll probably be Raskin and Diomande, Hadji, Czerny and Dessers, I would imagine. But Diomande, he's become an important player in terms of Europe. Got the goal at Celtic Park as well, if you remember. I read his interview at the start of the week after the draw at Pittodrie, and he was talking about his frustration at sitting watching the game in the main stand at Ibrox last Thursday night, sort of kicking every ball from his seat. So he is eager to get out there and contribute where he couldn't contribute last week.
So there's no fear from you, Mark, that suitability for European competition has an off night or wears off or whatever, and it becomes a really tough evening?
No, I think Rangers have got the players suited for Europe, not for the SPL, because obviously the SPL is too physical for guys like Dio Mandy. I mean, you see Dio Mandy against Celtic. Celtic plays football, and Dio Mandy's outstanding, but you watch him against Ross County, St Johnston, and it's a different kettle of fish. He's just getting shoved about the back, bullied, you know what I mean? And people getting in his face and frustrating him. And
it's funny because
I think he would start going a Barron tomorrow, because I think going a Barron with the pace as well, he's got a good engine in him. I think Hadji will drop it tomorrow. I think Hadji will be the guy who'll drop it.
What do you think?
Is that hard to envisage? I wonder if Hadji would start. Listen, he might well go with Barron in there next to Raskin, and that would allow Diamandi to step on one and no Hadji. But you just wonder if it's a night for Hadji. You know, you go away, it's important you hold the ball, it's important you get a breather, you allow your back five, as it'll be, to step up a little bit away from Liam Kelly. And Hadji's probably the best they've got at that, you know, in protecting the ball and allowing, you know, retain possession and relieve a little bit of the pressure that's going to build inevitably on your defence.
I would agree. I think Hadji's key tomorrow night, because he can travel with the ball. Again, he's comfortable taking the ball. Yeah. He's taking the ball for a run. Even under pressure, it gets the team up the pitch, because I think there's going to be long periods where they're going to have to defend, so they need that out ball of Dessers up top, which he's going to hold it in and feed Cherney and Hadji. But then you get them opportunities where it's just a ball and Hadji, and he takes it for a run. He gets the whole team up the pitch, so I think he could be key tomorrow.
Is he looking and there might be a goal in him as well.
Yeah, absolutely. He's got that.
Is he looking a bit less of a luxury maybe than he would have been accused of being early on in his Rangers career? You look at some of the work rate last week.
I think you're probably right. And listen, it's ironic because we keep coming down to the last few weeks of his Rangers career, but it's been quite a career. You know, he missed the final 3 years ago when he had that horrible cruciate ligament injury. He missed a Scottish Cup final win as well. He did get a league under Steven Gerrard. He's been out of favour. He's been back in favour. It looked as if he'd never play for the club again in the opening months of this season until they resolved the contract situation under Philippe Clement. But he has emerged this calendar year as a more significant player, starting with the goal against Celtic at Ibrox, right the way through to the goal against Aberdeen at Pittodrie that delayed the title party on Sunday.
The reason I think he will play tomorrow night as well, because I've seen a much more appetite for a work rate from since Barry Ferguson's came in. I think the demand's been there. I think he's reacted really well to it. He works ever so hard up and down the pitch, and he's willing to do that now, and I think he understands his role in the team a little bit more. And as I say, I think he could play a key part tomorrow.
Just as an aside, what do you think his future looks like? I know there's been a bit of debate about that this week.
I tend to think his future lies away from the club.
As of this summer?
Probably as of this summer, yeah. I think in terms of Rangers are looking to bring in a lot of new players in the summer, I would think. And for Hadji's own career, for the reasons partly that we've just spoken about, he has had an up and down Rangers career. I don't think it would be a bad thing for him to go away and get a fresh start somewhere else. But listen, he's been good for Rangers. I think Rangers have been good for Yanis Hadji over the last few years as well.
No, I agree. I would like to see him stay at Rangers, but I've got a funny feeling he's going to see his future away from the club.
Okay. Let's hear a bit from the Rangers camp then. We just heard from Andrew McLean over there. Thank you to Mark on the line. Barry Ferguson says they need to be much better with the ball than they were last week. He says he and the players are right up for it.
Yeah, well, you're in a quarter final and you've got a brilliant opportunity. I think the game's wide open, as I've mentioned after last Thursday's game. So, yep, spoke with the players today. These are the games you want to be involved in as a football player and also as a manager. So, but we're looking forward to it. But we also understand that we're up against a very good team who have got a very good home record. So we will need to be really prepared. We've worked pretty hard over the last couple of days. So we're obviously looking forward to the game now. When we have the ball, certainly in a ground like this, or a stadium like this, should I say, you need to be able to keep it. So we've spoken about that as well, because we need to defend, because they're a very attack-minded team. But also when we, as I said, when we gain possession of the ball, we need to be better. And that's something that we've obviously spoke about and we've worked on.
And now it's time for you to play a big game of your own. Let's do it.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Mixed up this week. Wednesday night, Roger Hanna. That's an entirely different prospect. I wonder if, you know, we talk about Rangers being better on a Thursday. Is Roger Hanna worse on a Wednesday from his usual Monday slot? We could be about to find out. Give us a call either way on 01419511025. Your chance to beat the pundit is next, and your calls must be in before 7 o'clock. Good luck.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the second hour then on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Give us a call. Of course, we've been giving the big build up to Athletic Club, as they're officially known these days, Bilbao to many other people, against Rangers tomorrow. We've been live to Bilbao, hearing from Andrew McLean. The fitness update is as good as can be expected, really, from Rangers. Everyone that you thought would be available is, and we've heard a bit from Barry Ferguson as well. So how are you feeling, Rangers fans? Add to the debate if you can, what the team should look like, the personnel, the formation, how confident you are, how you think this game will be won and lost tomorrow. Get in touch, please. Even better, because I know a lot of you go on your travels. Anyone out there listening on the app over in Bilbao, that would be excellent if you would give us a call. What else is out there though? Come on, there's always something else doing. Celtic fans, how are you feeling? Early shout for the Scottish Cup semi-final weekend. This midweek so far has been a bit about Brendan Rodgers maybe with a new contract, Greg Taylor's contractual situation. What are you thinking about those two areas? Give us a call right now if you can. Hearts fans, what do you make of James Wilson signing a new contract? Does that give you a bit of security, a bit of positivity in a week that's not been very positive at all? I'm very interested in this Toyosi Olasanya to the MLS story, I must say. We can get to that later on as well. St Mirren fans, give us a call. We'll play this first.
Beat the pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, beat the pundit time. How are you feeling, Roger? Are you a bit out of sorts being here on a Wednesday? Or
no, not at all. Flexible.
Just feel the same?
Yeah.
Just okay. Just wonder. I mean, you still are on -2. You know that still applies on a Wednesday.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No,
oh,
you thought you were coming in here to.
I'm a bit shakier now.
No, not at all. And the, Cammy, I mean, the stats.
Listen, I'm feeling a wee bit more knowledgeable with just Roger sitting
rubbing
next to me.
Off on you.
I feel it.
Steady.
apparently, there's a really damning stat for you. I'm going to ruin your Easter. You've been away.
Honestly,
you've been enjoying
man.
Yourself in the sun. You've come back to this from the producer. It's done you in.
Hey, okay.
You're one of only two pundits with more defeats than victories.
Oh, hey, okay.
It's not,
it's not been good this season.
But bottom you bottom
you,
six.
You can yeah. balance
relegation
up tonight.
Battle,
you can go 50-50. You hey, can okay. balance up tonight.
It looks bored. Let me tell you, it did not get that suntan in Annan.
I know, where so have you been?
Tenerife, enjoying the sunshine.
Oh,
I actually met a couple of Radio Clyde Super Scoreboard fans over there.
Did talking, you?
Yeah, and they were talking sense.
Not
yeah.
fancy phoning in for Beat the Pundit.
I mean,
God,
they should
I've
do.
Told you, everywhere we go.
Yeah.
I had a friend in Australia, I told you, 2 or 3 weeks mm-hmm. ago, in a car, listening to the people, driver yeah. listening to the podcast in
amazing.
Sydney.
That's right, so you did.
Everywhere.
That's true, actually. I was in the park yesterday, as you know, with my children, and the guy said, I'm just back from Canada, and it was the sound of home that keeps you going. I think when people go abroad, they just like a bit of madness,
yeah.
don't they? From home. Are you still a sort of beach club in Tenerife guy, or is it those
no,
days?
No, listen, I've got the kids.
The water parks rather than beach
water
clubs.
Water parks,
quite right,
yeah.
okay. Kyle's an Aberdeen fan. How are you, Kyle?
Yeah, I'm all right. Yourselves?
Yeah, all good here. Have you ever played before?
No, first time.
Good stuff, good stuff. We'll maybe talk about this weekend with Kyle once we're done. Heads, it will be Cammy Bell, tails, Roger Hanna, -2. It's Mr. Tenerife.
Oh, here we go. You've got a chance, Kyle.
Were you swatting up when you were over there?
Was it what?
Were you swatting up?
No.
Did you walk to the local shop, answer carefully, and buy a Scottish Sun in the morning to get your football fix?
Of course I did.
Do you believe him, Roger?
I feel like Kyle's got a good chance here.
He doesn't need to. He's on the app, and he's on the Sun Club, and he's in everything. He's all over it.
Anyway, right, you've got Cammy Bell. So what we'll do, Kyle, is we give him something else to listen to so he can hear your answers. Obviously, that's how it works. We then line up the clock for you, Kyle, with 30 seconds on it. The only instruction I give you, just answer as many as you can, and you are allowed to pass and move on to the next question, okay?
Yep, go good.
Let's do it then. 30 seconds to Kyle in Bayliston, starting now. What nationality is Alistair Johnston?
Canadian.
Name any English club Barry Ferguson played for.
Birmingham.
Which Scotland manager gave John McGinn his first cap?
Alex McLeish.
What was the last shirt sponsor shared by Celtic and Rangers?
Carlin.
Which SPFL club's full name has the most letters?
Heart of Midlothian.
Where was the most recent Scotland home game played away from Hampden?
Ibrox.
Okay. Cammy Bell, are you ready?
Yes.
Same set of questions to you. 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. What nationality is Alistair Johnson?
Canadian.
Name any English club that Barry Ferguson played for.
Blackburn.
Which Scotland manager gave John McGinn his first cap?
Alex McLeish.
What was the last shirt sponsor shared by Celtic and Rangers?
C.R. Smith.
Which SPFL club's full name has the most letters?
Pass.
Where was the most recent Scotland home game played away from Hampden? 3, 2, 1. Guess the stadium.
Aberdeen. Pataudry.
Did he get in time, Roger?
I'll give him. We're getting in time, yeah.
Right, okay.
Some good ones in there, can we?
What do you think, Kyle?
Close, definitely close.
No, he's always, yeah, he said sort of similar things.
That,
he said similar things. Let's go through them. Alistair Johnson's Canadian. You both got it. Well done. Name any English club Barry Ferguson played for. You had the choice of Blackburn, Birmingham,
Blackpool,
or
Fleetwood.
Fleetwood Town. Oh. So you both got one on the board there. 2-2. I thought we were in for a high scoring affair. And then. You both went Alex McLeish. It was the one before. It was Gordon Strachan. Poland, was he Poland? No, he was Denmark at home, wasn't he?
Might be right.
Yeah, I think so. And it doesn't
good
really
goal
matter.
Last night.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Brilliant.
What a way to like go out the Champions League, but yeah. Do it right.
Yeah.
If that makes
amazing.
Sense.
Amazing.
You know, you come off with a sort of a, you know, standing ovation almost from the fans. You were beaten over two legs by a really good team, but you managed to beat them at home. I think we take that story for granted a little bit, Roger, because we're kind of used to it now. You know, like we've done it with Andy Robertson.
Yeah.
John McGinn went like went amazing. Went St Mirren, Hibs, and Aston Villa in the English Championship.
And Scobie's first goal into me.
Did he? Yeah, I like that fact.
You know what I think the most amazing thing
no,
is?
No, hold on, I want to revisit this.
And John, I had a stinker.
John McGinn's first career goal was scored into you.
Yeah.
Love that.
And he reminded me, because obviously I went to Hibs with him, so yeah. He was
and should you have saved it?
Oh, I was, aye, absolutely. Lettuce wrist
so
on the
St.
left hand.
Kilmarnock.
Yeah.
Whereabouts?
I think it was last game of season. It was a dead rubber, nothing to play for.
Paisley or
Rugby Park.
I like that. But do you know what I mean, Roger? This is St. Mirren to Hibs to Villa in the Championship.
That's what I was going to say. This
to
is the most amazing part. He went to Aston Villa. They were in the Championship. They were like Leeds United or Burnley or Sheffield United are just now.
Amazing.
And he's gone from there to become club captain in a Champions League quarter final, almost taking Paris Saint Germain to extra time. The future king shouting his name when he scored in a goal. It is an incredible journey, an incredible story. And listen, it's a shame it had to end last night, you know.
Because if I remembered this wrong, or see when he was leaving St Mirren, was it a bit kind of up in, you know, what's next sort of thing? Was there not a few?
It was a good signing for Hibs.
But do you know what I mean? It wasn't like usually.
You're saying he wasn't a standout,
usually if you're an absolute, you know, you finish on a high at a club like St Mirren, you're looking for that next big move.
Yeah.
No offense, I'm not saying Hibs isn't a big move,
but you know what I mean.
You've then had to take one sort of step up, and then go to the English Championship and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, and listen, he's taken all of the moves in his stride, and you know he's captain. He's leading out Marcus Rashford. He's leading out World Cup winner Emi Martinez. He's leading out a star-studded array of great Aston Villa players, and he's so beloved there. I don't know whether you could hear the tannoy come across on the television after he scored the goal. Goal scorer for Aston Villa, number super. 7, super John McGinn.
Yeah, it was incredible.
But anyway, what a guy he is, though, as well. I've got to say that he's a brilliant.
Yeah, he still
human.
Comes across
amazing guy.
Very well. Anyway, we went on a bit of a tangent there, which is fine. Still 2-2 and beat the pundit. By the way, the last shirt sponsor shared by Celtic and Rangers, they had C.R. Smith, Cammy, you mentioned. They had NTL.
Yep.
They had Carling, I think Kyle went for, but it was Tenants was the most recent, 2010-13. So none of you got it still to all. Which SPFL club's full name has the most letters? I feel like giving Kyle some sort of quarter point for at least giving this a go. He said Heart of Midlothian. You just passed, which was a coward's way out.
I was flapping.
Surely must be Inverness Caledonian
Thistle.
It is
Inverness Caledonian Thistle. I felt for you, Kyle. I thought it was a good effort, just not quite good enough. So it's still 2-2 heading into the last question. Where was the most recent Scotland home game played outside Hampden? Kyle went for Ibrox, Cammy went for Pittodrie. Remind me what team you support, Kyle.
Oh, Aberdeen.
Oh, Kyle. It was that November 2017, Pittodrie, the Netherlands. Malky Mackay in charge. Kieran
right.
Tierney.
Ryan Jackett right back.
Kieran Tierney captain, maybe,
yeah.
Something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and Ryan Jackett right back.
I just threw it in there because that was only my debut when I played with Scotland, my one and
was
only
that
time.
Pittodrie,
yeah. And I just.
The Pharaohs.
Pharaohs.
Yeah,
Pharaohs.
You, in fact, yeah. you were a teaser answer last night.
Oh, was
there
it?
We go.
One cap wonder.
Clean sheet.
Goalies who got their first cap whilst not at Celtic or Rangers.
Ah, right, okay.
There you go. They struggled with Jordan Archer, let me tell you.
Good one. Oh,
we could have been here all night. Kyle, I can't believe you've been done on a Pittodrie question.
I can't believe that.
Honestly, you did all right up until that point.
I just went for one of the bigger stadiums.
I know. I see you're thinking. When would the last Ibrox one be? Georgia? Do you remember that under Gordon Strachan?
Oh goodness, that was a while ago. I was actually wondering about Celtic Park. Remember the
Ireland and England games were there? But again, that was before Ella. That. Yeah, well, 2014 because the Commonwealth Games was certainly one of them.
Anyways, I get a victory there.
Yeah, I've tried to put off mentioning.
Amazing.
I'm sure we played Georgia Ibrox.
Warm weather training's done you well, Kevin.
Ah, refreshed.
3-2 win.
It's just your knowledge feeding into me.
Well, possibly.
Something like that. Right, Kyle, enough about that. Small time. Yeah. Small time when the pundits win. It's a big deal if you win. What are you thinking about the weekend? Because for a couple of reasons, obviously with us being here and where we are in the country and so on, Celtic heading into the semi-finals are going to get a lot of attention. I feel like Hearts are, because there's a perceived crisis there, and whether this means the end of the road for Neil Critchley if it doesn't go to plan. So I feel like you're going into this a bit under the radar a bit. How do you feel from an Aberdeen perspective?
It's just 50-50 because between Aberdeen and Hearts, it's always been close games. Well, this season Aberdeen are undefeated against them, but it still means absolutely nothing heading towards Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Roger, we spoke in the office, spoiler, you said you felt Aberdeen were really in good shape to win that one.
Yeah, I thought so. I saw Hearts at Fir Park on Saturday, really disappointed by them. Look okay defensively going forward. They offered really very little. I know they didn't have James Wilson. The manager chose to leave out Lauren Shanklin until half time. But then you watch Aberdeen on the TV, and I know Aberdeen made a mess of it in the second half against Rangers. They just looked to me to carry more of a threat. If Jimmy Tilleen sticks with that front four, Morris one side, Keskin in the other, and Pap Guy in behind Kevin Nisbet, and then you've got Clarkson and Palaversa, I just think Aberdeen look more likely to score goals. And if you're going to win a semi-final, you need to score goals, Gordon. They're due hard to win. I don't think they've met, astonishingly for two big teams, haven't met a Scottish Cup final for 29 years. Hearts won it. I think Aberdeen last beat Hearts in a semi over 40 years ago. They're due them one. I think Aberdeen will win.
Kyle, how do you sum up the overall picture? Because everybody knows the story where it started great, it then went terrible, it's now on the up again. Aberdeen quite conceivably certainly could make a cup final, might even win the cup, and you know, and still could finish third. It feels like, you know, that would be an outstanding season, but because the league's so delicate, it can obviously go quite, you know, drastically the other way. How would you sum it up overall at the moment?
It's just, obviously, at the start of the season, obviously, there's Aberdeen fans that's thinking, oh, we can compete. I didn't think, oh, we're going to like absolutely battle for the league. So even third and potentially a cup is an absolute amazing season for us.
That's the thing, and you know, Roger, we'll do this probably in more detail next week, but it's a difficulty when you start having like manager of the year discussions.
Yeah.
It feels like everyone gave up on Jimmy Tilleen because they had that bad run. But to repeat it, they could finish third and get to a cup final.
And you're slightly clouded in your thoughts of Jimmy Tilleen just because of that up and down nature, 16 or 17 unbeaten and then 16 or 17 without a win. I mean, it's historic, you know, twists and turns of form. I don't know whether you'll agree, Kyle, but if someone had sat you down before the first day of the season, I can't remember, did you start at East Kilbride or something, or did you start I can't remember that Premier Sports
Queen
Cup
of the South.
Queen of the South away, that's what it was. East Kilbride was the following week. If somebody sits you down before that game at Palmerston and says, listen, you'll get to the last week in April, you'll be in the fight for third place might well guarantee you European group stage football again, and you'll be in a Scottish Cup semi-final against Hearts who didn't make the top six, you'd probably have taken that, wouldn't you?
Oh, definitely. From well, from last season, we finished seventh. We were expecting this season, obviously, it's just changeover, new manager. It'll probably be a long run for him. We're not expecting us, obviously, at the start of the season, we're fighting at the top.
Yeah, listen, I think Aberdeen, they're in a good position. As Roger mentioned there, everyone would have taken this position, but it's just the way the season's obviously panned out. The run at the start of the season, I think, when you looked at some of the games, they just got over the line. They weren't playing particularly well, and then they went in such a bad run. But they've picked up again. They're in a decent bit of form at this moment in time. I think they're unbeaten in six, possibly. So they're in a good place at this moment, certainly, to go and face Hearts on Saturday. And I believe that Aberdeen will come out on top on that one as well.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose some players starting to show what they're capable of. Kyle, Shaden Morris, Kevin Nisbet. Well, he got denied the goal, didn't he, with the handball at the weekend. You feel like these are the guys you're going to rely on to fire you into the final?
I think Shaden Morris, definitely. His turnover since last season has been incredible. Like, compared to what last season, he was potentially getting put out by the club entirely, and he's become one of our best players this season.
People always talk about the big hand and pitch, whatever it means, Roger. How much bigger it is, I'm never really sure. It does always seem that way, and if he can harness what he's done in the last couple of weeks, you would not want to be chasing him around the big hand and pitch.
I think that's one of the things that goes in Aberdeen's favour as well. There is pace in the team. You know, Keskinen's quick as well. They got over the ground quicker. I thought Hearts were really one-paced at Fir Park at the weekend. And, you know, you often think, if you look at the teams, we've spoken about the front six for Aberdeen, well, they're exciting, they could do things. I'm not even sure, off the back of Fir Park, what Hearts' front six will be. Because there was players who started the game at Motherwell on Saturday who have played themselves out of contention for a start in the semi-final.
Yeah, I'm again, you look at that front line of Aberdeen's, I think it's a real threat. There's goals there, there's excitement. Roger mentioned there the pace on that bigger pitch. I think it suits Aberdeen. I think they'll be confident going into it. How Hearts react after that, such a big disappointment last weekend as well. But it is a crucial game for them as well, and their manager, because I feel as if the Hearts fans are starting to become really frustrated. And we all know what happens when the fans get frustrated and don't get what they want. They soon ask questions of the manager, and I think that's already happening.
Is there any part of you, Roger, that still feels Hearts have a on their day in them? Stuff about him not winning any big games so far, is that fair?
There's always a chance, and St Johnstone fans will go the next day to Hampden thinking they've got a chance against Celtic. Of course Hearts have got a chance. They'll be better with James Wilson coming back into the team, but I just feel this unbeaten run that Cammy mentions, Aberdeen will go with a lot of confidence after failing to make the top six. And bear in mind, they had two goes at it. You know, they lost 1-0 at home to Dundee United, then they failed to score at Fir Park, that 0-0. I think confidence will be low among the Hearts players, low among the Hearts fans. I think just the one-off nature on that big Hampden pitch, everything points towards Aberdeen.
Hearts need to start the game well, because I think the fans will turn on them if they don't start well. If they lose an early goal, I think the fans will vent their frustration, and that won't help the players on the pitch.
Thanks to Kyle, by the way, for joining us on the line, giving us the Aberdeen side of things. What about James Wilson signing a new contract on the topic of Hearts? I think you named him. Of course, been his breakthrough season.
Yeah.
Started well, scored some goals, maybe been a bit tougher of late, albeit he got his first Scotland call-up and his debut as well. So he signed a new deal, tying him contractually to the club until 2027. He's still only 18. Is that a small bit of good news at the end of a bad week?
They'll be paying James Wilson a good bit more, and they'll be protecting an asset. James Wilson, and to a certain extent Adam Forrester as well, will be popping up on other teams' data and analytics. That's stuff that Hearts like, Gordon. Other clubs have got it as well, you know. And when those other clubs see that a lad who's just turned 18 years of age is playing for Scotland, making his debut, scoring in the top flight, they will be sending people to watch him. So Hearts will want to protect their asset. They won't want him walking away for next to nothing. I just think it's a kind of contract extension. I think the second contract extension for James inside about 5 months, it's just one that makes sense for all parties.
Is he, you know, it's inevitable, an 18-year-old's unlikely. He was 17 when he came in.
Yeah.
You know, going to play all season, be brilliant all season, Cammy. So, but you know, he's still done enough, hasn't he, to show that there will be interest, and that's why Hearts need to try and protect themselves.
Absolutely. I mean, you're getting called into the national squad, which, again, I think it's a smart move from Hearts to, as Roger said, protecting your assets, key, especially these young guys that, for me, he's got a really bright future in front of him. And again, what it does is it protects the club. It makes that if any there is anybody out there looking at him, they have to pay the money that he's worth. So they've tied him down. They'll be hoping that settles him down as well, because he knows his future's there. He'll just want to concentrate on his football, and hopefully that can help Hearts between now and the end of the season. But I think it's a real smart move. It's a little bit of good news that's been such a bad week for all the Hearts fans out there.
Danger of going off on a tangent, but I'll keep it brief. Interesting to see Roger if, purely for the developmental side of it, he stays in the Scotland squad for these summer friendlies, because maybe his form just now isn't as good as it was. But you wonder then if you actually make a point of taking him ahead of someone who has ended the season better, just so that you can foster that, you know, that journey, that relationship.
I've seen summer international friendlies before, Gordon, at the end of a very long, arduous domestic season, Gordon, when, you know, talking James Wilson staying in, Lennon Miller staying in, I heard you mentioning last night Kieran Bowie as a potential getting a nod. If these two summer friendlies are anything like past summer friendlies, there's a fair chance Cammy will get his second cap. So I would think James Wilson will stay in, because I think a lot of the big hitters will call in a favour from Steve Clarke and say, Cammy says Tenerife's lovely, I'm heading there.
It's in the striking department. Are we close to a return for Ollie Burke?
Well, you can throw in his pal Ollie McBurney for that. I mean, they both scored in the top leagues at the weekend.
Ollie Burke's now playing pretty much every game from the start for a team ninth in the Bundesliga.
3 goals in the last 2 games.
A double at the weekend in an away win at Stuttgart.
Yep.
And one the week before in a win against Eintracht Frankfurt, who probably gone through to the Europa League semis.
Yeah.
I know he's played for Scotland before, it didn't go great. I know he was at Celtic and it didn't go great, and I know he's dotted around. But if we're talking about, well, maybe it's a 17-year-old or 18-year-old and James Wilson, or maybe it's a Kevin Nisbet, or maybe it's this, should we thinking
you're understood
along those lines?
Ollie Burke scored a winner on Steve Clarke's first game as Scotland manager.
I was in Tenerife watching it. Cammy's place.
They won't be recalled under Steve Clarke.
No.
Steve Clarke has put together this squad. He likes Che Adams, he likes Nisbet, and he likes Shankland, and he digs when he's fit, and he likes to bring in the younger lads as well.
I get that.
I don't think Burke and McBurney will come back under
Steve
Clarke.
Would Ryan Hardy ever get a shout?
Not under Steve Clarke, because he's had ample opportunity to pick him. But you don't know what the next Scotland manager will see in the striking department, whether he looks and thinks that guys who are scoring goals in the Bundesliga and La Liga as Burke and McBurney are a better bet.
Was that McBurney's first?
Yeah, but it's
in La Liga.
Yeah, but they're coming on in a wee bit of form. They might stay up.
Yeah, but Ollie Burke flying at the moment.
Fabio Silva got the other two, remember him?
Oh my goodness, we got distracted there. But anyway, good time to call 0141 951 1025. We'll get you on next.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
It is time for Roger Hanna and Cammy Bell to tackle the full-time teaser. I'm not even going to take any answers from you at the moment. I'm just going to set up the question, because we're running a bit behind its schedule. It's the crazy pony. He sent one in, and he's even apologising for his lack of teasers recently. He's firing shots at the sensible donkey, who has been sending some in as well. He wants a...
See if somebody listened to the show for
the first time. I know. But I like to think we're like a wee club.
We are.
People know all the references. Yeah. He wants a happy birthday shout out in tonight's show. I promise to send some cracking teasers. I'm 35 in human years, which is 123 in pony years, apparently. Happy birthday, pony. Anyway. This is chaos. He didn't even send this one in. He just wanted a shout out. What's happening? This is not the GBX. Whoever put this on my desk? This was actually sent in by Dylan and Wisher. So thank you to Dylan, who sent it in. Can you name 10 players who played in the 2011-12 SPL season and went on to manage in Scotland in 2025? Okay, I think you can do it.
Yeah.
So 10 players who made an appearance in the SPL in 2011-12 and went on to manage in Scotland in 2025.
SPL, Premier League, top flight.
They have to have played in the top flight in the 11-12 season. and they have to have managed anywhere in Scotland in 2025. So in the last few months.
My man, Scott Brown.
Yes, played for Celtic, manages Ayr. Quick, Cammy, one guess. Nothing?
No.
Okay.
Give me a second.
One more, Roger.
Jim Goodwin.
Yes, played for St Mirren, manages Dundee United. Craig is on the line. How are you, Craig?
I'm not bad, yourself, guys.
Good, thank you. What are you thinking tonight?
I'm not going to give any answers.
Good.
just to say a point on, well, first to congratulate, John McGinn was brilliant last night for Attenborough, and he's done really well to show that there is a pathway from a Scottish club to the top level. And I think there's a lot of other Scottish players that might follow, so, to be honest with you, Gilmore's and McTominay's and whatnot.
It's a good point. You know, we spoke about him a bit earlier, Roger, but I think also the just to know that the path doesn't have to be, you know, as obvious as you think. Like, we're kind of, no. I mean, we're hoping, like, let's see.
Robertson as well.
Yeah, oh, exactly. Brilliant, I know. Yeah, Queen's Park.
And Dundee United and then Hull and then Liverpool. It's like, it's probably better to make those incremental steps rather than just going straight from a small club to a big club, because then it's a vast difference.
Yeah, because what would John McGinn have been when he went to Villa? 23-ish?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Something like that. Yeah, mm-hmm. So not like, you know, we've got, hopefully, say, Ben Doak is kind of wonder kid and it all just goes up. But, you know, you wait till you're 23, you get a move which is a big club, but it is still in the English Championship.
Yeah.
You're not thinking at that point when you're 30 you're captain of a Champions League quarter finalist, are you?
No, it's been an incredible journey for him. I remember it was the season I left Hibs and John left that season as well, and I just remember the conversations. Obviously I know the interest from Celtic was there, but John firmly he wanted to get that move, and he got it right. And listen, he's never looked back. He's worked ever so hard though. He's as you say, he's went down to the Championship. And again, now he's captaining a side in the Champions League. And yeah. Listen, he's an elite player for me as well. He's a top footballer. Quite. Yeah, absolutely brilliant.
I think
he's a player that's calling to build their team around, basically.
I always love
the next year or so, but obviously, he's maybe not there anymore.
Yeah, I always love the seeing look in social media, Roger, and when he does things on a night like last night, it's full of fans of like really big teams, almost saying like along the lines of like who is this guy? How does he keep turning up and putting in these these performances? Yeah. That's he's got that sort of vibe about him where I always see fans of like big teams saying, do you know what, he's so underrated, and he obviously got a bit of everything and he bashed people out the way, but then he got a bit of quality at the end of it.
I remember a story in one of the Sunday newspapers, Gordon, many years ago. I think it might be Villa's first season back up in the English Premier League, and McGinn was playing terrifically well, and he was linked with a move to Manchester United, and I think there would be people, snobs among the Man United supporter would think, we're not signing this little Scottish fellow from Aston Villa. We'll spend £80 million in Casemiro or Manuel Ugarte. And the rest would be betting off going and getting someone like John McGinn, who's exactly what a team like that need.
Good point. What about your own team then, Craig? What's happening?
Did Jack Grealish not actually say one time that John McGinn made him a better player?
Yeah.
Because he knew McGinn was always there. And I'm pretty sure he was always supportive of McGinn.
Yeah, the good relationship, didn't they? Player.
Yep.
Yeah, well, listen, high praise and hopefully more to come on that front. Hopefully, preferably in a Scotland jersey. What are you thinking about your own side this week then?
Just to follow up on a point about Hadji earlier, and I think he was saying about he was considered a luxury player or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he plays really good in that number 8. See, building up the play, helping build up the play. Because I think he's been absolutely excellent the last few games, but I've always had a good feeling about Hadji. He's just not had a run since that season that we won the league, where he had one of the highest goal contributions, I think, in the team. Maybe second or third.
You'd be quite keen to keep him around, Craig. Yeah, this is going beyond who plays tomorrow, isn't it?
Yeah, but asking to take a pay cut, I think it's ridiculous, when he's already agreed to not take his pay rise that he was supposedly in his contract.
But we'll never know, Rod. To be fair, he's been very respectful in the last couple of days. You know, he was shooting down stories that he did want to leave. But what we don't know is how his experience has, if it has been soured at all, you know, by the whole contractual debacle last season.
I've spoken to him a couple of times this season, Gordon, and I think the period he had out with that horrible knee injury, remember he got hurt in the Scottish Cup against Stirling Albion in January, missed a run into that season, missed the Europa League final, missed the Scottish Cup final. I think having managed to get back physically and mentally from that setback. I think he maybe, you know, views little things that have been left out of the team differently than they would have done before. I think he sees the big picture now. I think he's a more rounded person. I think he's probably a more rounded player as well. And I don't think he'll be a Rangers player next season, but would it surprise you if the new owners of Rangers came in, made him an offer, gave him a big sales pitch, and they did convince him to stay?
Yeah, no, again, I said before that I didn't think he would be a player, but it was a player I'd love to see at Rangers next season, because I do think, certainly in the last few months, his work rate's really improved. His understanding of the way and position that he's been asked to play and what he's been asked to do on the pitch, it looks as if he completely understands, and he's thriving out there. And he's a player for me that can win you a game. He can score a goal out of nothing. He's got that quality, he's got that ability. And yeah, listen, as Roger said, that potentially do the new owners come in, make him an offer that he can't refuse, I think he'd be a player that certainly I would like to see at Ibrox next season.
And then obviously, Craig, to play tomorrow, I assume, if you're this fulsome in your praise.
Sorry?
You want to see him play tomorrow, I take it, and amongst all this praise for him.
Yeah, I think, especially in Europe, he's one of the ideal players. My worst fear is somebody else offers him a good contract before the end of the season, before the 49ers Enterprises come in, and then we don't have an option on him. But he doesn't look like a guy that's down tools to me anyway. He looks like he's fighting for every ball, and yeah, I would definitely have him in the team tomorrow. And I'd probably have Eggman up front instead of Dessels, but as much as I'm a Dessels fan, I think we need Eggman rather than Dessels tomorrow.
Think so?
Yeah, because I don't think we'll get much space in behind as much with them. I think they defend well. I think we need Eggman so the ball sticks up there.
Do you, two things obviously when we have these discussions, what you would do and what you think the manager will do, can you see it?
No, he'll probably play Dessels, to be honest.
I
like Dessels, I like him in certain situations, but I think tomorrow we need the ball to stick up front, and I don't think Dessels is the guy for that. He's the one for running behind, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think Dessels starts. I think it's been in Barry Ferguson's head from the first leg. You saw that with the team he picked up at Todd at the weekend. I think Dessels starts. That's not to say Hamza Eggman can't have a big role off the bench depending how the game looks going into the last quarter.
Did the one thing you would say, Cammy, because obviously look, Barry Ferguson's results have not been as good as he would want them to be. There have been a lot of lows and things that they've had to get over within games. But the one thing that I don't think anyone would take away from him is he's not been scared to just make a big decision. Whether that is because it comes with the freedom of knowing you've got either, you know, this short amount of time, you've got to go with your gut. So wouldn't surprise you entirely if he pulled something. I mean, Bailey Rice started the game last week as an example.
And Liam Kelly.
And he was brave enough to go and start a lot of players on Sunday. Again, I was expecting changes on Sunday, probably not as many as I actually seen. It's a huge game on Thursday night. But yeah, listen, he's more than happy to go and make a change, whether that's in the 20th minute or it's the 60th minute or it's before a game. And he's quite happy to do that. I don't think it is because he's in short term. I think he reacts well to what he's seen on the pitch. He makes big decisions. Again, on Sunday, he seen that he needed to make big decisions at half time, and he made them because he knew that if he left that team on the pitch, it could have been a 3 or a 4-0. Yeah. He needed to make that change, and that was, again, he's looking forward to Thursday. He didn't want to go into Thursday night's game with a 4-0 defeat at Pittodrie, so he had to make them big decisions, and he done it. So listen, I think he's more than happy to make it. I just feel as if I feel like Dessers will start the game.
Okay, thank you to Craig, 01419511025. Good teaser tonight from Dylan and Wisher. Can you name the 10 players who made an appearance in the 11-12 SPL season and managed in Scotland this calendar year, 2025? Scott Brown, Jim Goodwin.
Barry Robson?
No. Ooh, I'm surprised at that, but maybe must have been away.
What about Charlie McGrew?
Yes. Played for Celtic, recently managed Kelty Hearts.
John Rankin?
Yes, played for United, manages Ackies. One more guess.
The Mushroom?
Yes, Mark Wilson, played for Celtic, co-manages Partick Thistle. Good time to call, we'll get you on next.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
we're nearly done for tonight, and then onwards to that Europa League quarter final tomorrow. But still plenty of time to get some goodness out of Roger Hanna and Cammy Bell. Can you name the 10 players who played in the 2011-12 SPL season and then went on to manage in Scotland this year, 2025? Charlie Mulgrew, Scott Brown, Mark Wilson, theme developing here, breakaway from the Celtic connection, John Rankin, Jim Goodwin.
I'm going to see John Rankin for Super Scoreboard on Saturday. You Hamilton Accies versus Queen's Park. What about Stephen McLean?
No, oh. But
Callum Davidson.
Yeah, you've hit the post a bit. Maybe Stephen McLean counts there as well. But no, Callum Davidson's one of your answers.
Dougie Imrie.
Yep, played for St Mirren in that season. Mm. Kind of forgot about that. Yeah. Manages Morton.
I really hope this is right.
Go on then.
Willie Gibson.
Superb.
Yes.
Because you've stolen it off Mr. Annan.
Should have got that.
Mr.
Man.
Annan.
Honestly, come on, man.
Played for St Johnston in that season. Okay, let's leave it there. You've only got two to get, and I have full faith in you that you will get them. Let's see if we can squeeze one more call in before we disappear tonight. It would be nice. 01419511025. Alec is on the line. How are you, Alec?
Evening, Gordon, Roger, Cammy.
Hey, Alec.
Gordon, absolutely buzzing just now. St Mirren fan. Going to come to Willisang in a second, but I'd like to congratulate Stephen Robinson and the team and everyone at the club for the work they've done this year and getting us into top six. And Willisang is a success story, just like St Mirren this year, and for the recruitment policy that Stephen Robinson has got in. For us to get, and if you believe the numbers, six figures, if that's what we get from it this time of the season for a player getting out of contract is... a world of a difference from where St Mirren used to be two or three years ago when you know, we were selling players in deadline days, the likes of Ken McLean going back a few years ago and getting, you know, absolute buttons for them. But this lad's been, you know, his first season he came to us from Middlesbrough, really uneventful, lots of pace but nothing else. We went and loaned to Arbroath for a year and came back a lot stronger and a lot more aware in terms of his link-up play. And he's got the one thing defenders hate is pace.
Yeah.
You know, you've seen that in the Rangers game when he bullied the centre halves at Ibrox and scored a brilliant goal. It's just a pity we couldn't hold on to him. But as I say, if you're going to be able to take six figures with 6 weeks of the season to go, that's a great bit of business.
It's incredible. For anyone who doesn't know what Alec is referring to, he's given a lot of detail. But just in case you're wondering, a story in the Daily Record this evening that Houston Dynamo are closing in on signing to Ose Olasanya. Talking a six-figure deal, but the remarkable bit, as Alex says, is he's out of contract, Roger.
Yeah,
genuinely would be sort of subtly. I know we've done the whole Matt O'Reilly, Jota, Tierney, all this sort of stuff. Subtly, that would be one of the best pieces of business I can remember. Yeah, he's out of contract in the summer, but because the MLS window's open.
Yeah, your dear friend Keith Lasley was last seen carrying him shoulder high to Glasgow Airport,
singing the Star Spangled Banner
to head for Texas. Listen, it would be an incredible deal. St Mirren, who, you know, as Alex says, fantastic 3 years running in the top six, unless Anya's played his part. But for the rest of the season, St Mirren's season's meaningless.
Yeah.
You don't need to Olasanya for the last five games.
Even if you could
bring Mark Yardley back for the last five games of the season. So bank the money. I was actually speaking to Stephen Robinson on Friday, partly about the future, you know, going forward, a lot of out of contract players. They've signed Jonah Younger on a new deal. Yep. They're hoping to tie down Kaelin Boyd Munson on a new deal. They knew Olasanya was going somewhere. Richard Taylor will leave the club as well. There's contract offers out to however many other players. And if you could get the money in from Olasanya on top of the money you'll make from the top six, and everything that goes with that top six, it really will strengthen Stephen Robinson's hand in the summer when he looks to replace the likes of Olasanya, the lone players who are leaving, and anyone else that decides to go in the summer.
If this turns out the way that's reported, I think that's unbelievable for St Mirren.
Incredible. And again congratulations to St Mirren, because a fantastic season again. Stephen Robinson done a wonderful job since he's been there. But yeah, listen, see if that deal goes through. You've got to bite their hand off. And as Roger said, this will help the manager going forward, because ultimately it'll give him a little bit more money at his disposal to tie down the players he wants. And we've all seen Stephen Robinson's recruitment over the last two or three seasons. It's been brilliant. He brings in real gems. He turns them around very quickly, gets them comfortable, makes sure they're players that are suited to Scottish football as well. And yeah, they've got to just try and get this one over the line and move on.
Is he, Alec, is it all about how key he is to the way St Mirren play? Because on the face, if you'd never watched them, you looked him up and you saw 8 goals this season. It's not brilliant, that number, but he's more than that, isn't he?
It's the 8 goals, but it's the games that they've came in, Gordon. That's true. The most important thing. And you know, we've got a lad that was signed. We actually paid a fee for him, Osene, from Darlington. He's classed as work in progress. Very similar to Olasanya, very pacey. Young lad, if he can get into the team next season, as you've already mentioned, the recruitment policy, the way that St Mirren are giving these guys a chance, that's why they're happy to come here. You know they'll get first-team football. The one move that we need to happen, though, believe it or not, is for John McGinn to leave Aston Villa, because St Mirren, believe it or not, still have a sell-on clause in John McGinn.
There you go, that'd be a nice bit of business. Again, you wonder, it's just a shame the way football works at 30. You wonder if there is a move there. It's crazy that's considered, but maybe not now.
Maybe the recruitment team at Manchester United are listening to this show tonight.
They should be.
Well, yeah.
They're looking out that old scouting document and saying he's the man for us.
Just to reflect on the way Alex started his call, because I think for obvious reasons, a lot of focus at the weekend went on Hearts and their failure to get there. And even I can grudgingly admit, with my own personal feelings, it never really felt like Motherwell were going to make the top six. And it's strange because they had every bit almost as much of a chance as anyone else. It doesn't even feel like that much of a disappointment because the expectation wasn't there. So the achievement for St Mirren to do it 3 seasons in a row has been brilliant, hasn't it?
Incredible. And again, just the way they done it at the weekend as well, the late goal, the scenes after the game. I mean, I've no association with St Mirren at all, but I enjoyed watching it.
The only team you didn't play for.
Just about. But I enjoyed watching it, enjoyed watching the fans, just that moment of joy. And yeah, because they put so much into this season. And again, as you said, everybody was looking at Hearts. And then St Mirren have just came in the back door. But it was a tough game for them as well, and they got that late goal, which just summed up the day. It was brilliant. It was a great day for them.
And I'd been at Dens Park the previous Saturday, Cammy, for Super Scoreboard. They lost 2-0 to Dundee. We spoke to Marcus Fraser after the game, and they thought they were gone. They thought they were done. Hearts were at home to Dundee United the next day. They just needed a win. St Mirren thought they were out of the top six reckoning at that stage. And incredibly, Hearts lost at home to United. Hearts then failed to score at Firth Park, and St Mirren came from behind, that late goal by Roland Adowu, and that's why the scenes in Paisley were so euphoric, I think, because really they didn't expect they were going to do it for that third straight season.
It does show you, though, how unforgiving, I suppose, the split is. We've all said we celebrate it, we like it, it's added excitement in amongst the talk of the league reconstruction, but it's quite cutthroat then. You know, you're
Think of Ricky Lammy for you guys at Livingston that year.
Your season becomes, you know, an absolute success now this season for St Mirren.
Absolutely. But if
Florence Shank, and by the way, maybe I'm putting too much emphasis on this because football is all about fine margins, sports is all about fine margins, I get that. But you know, if Lauren Shanklin's ball just rolls into the corner in the last minute, no one's talking about Neil Critchley's future. That's what the split brings, isn't it? It's that jeopardy.
Absolutely. But my thing is that they know it's there. They know it's happening on that day. You've got to handle that pressure. Hearts had to handle the pressure on Saturday, get the victory. They knew if they won that game, they're in the top six, and they failed to do that, and St Mirren took full advantage, and they absolutely deserve to be there.
Cammy, as I always say, the football might not be great, but the drama's terrific.
Amazing. Absolutely. Let's see if we've got late drama on this teaser tonight. Can you name the 10 players who made an appearance in the 11-12 SPL season who went on to manage an SPFL club in 2025? Thanks again to Alec, by the way. That was a great call from Alec in Cardonald. You've got Charlie Mulgrew, Scott Brown, Mark Wilson, John Rankin, Jim Goodwin, Dougie Emery, Callum Davidson, and Willie Gibson.
Paul Hardley?
No.
David Gray?
No. This is good, catching you out a little bit.
Gary Naismith?
Also no.
Alan Mabry?
Yes. Nice. Manages Stirling Albion, played for St Johnston.
Many have we to get?
One.
Whoa. Is it Chris Doolan?
It's not.
Well, is it Brian Graham?
It's not.
Don Cowie?
Now just naming every manager in Scotland.
We are. No, Don Cowie?
No.
Callum Elliott? Well, my last shout, I'm scrubbing these out.
He didn't play that season.
Former manager?
No.
It was a current manager. I was going to say Stuart Kettlewell.
Current manager.
Oh, that's a
You've just forgotten about the playing career bit because it was quite short up here. Short overall, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
he would still be, he was a young player then, meaning he's still considered a young manager.
Reece McCabe.
Reece McCabe. Well done.
Oh, well done.
Good shout. Cammy Bell wins it at the end. 01419511025. Write it down for tomorrow. Give us a call because it is a huge night of Europa League quarter final action for Rangers. And have you ever dreamt of spending 5 hours on a Thursday night with Mark Wilson and Gordon DL? 6 until 11 p.m. Make sure you join us and enjoy the rest of your evening.